Today's episode is brought to you by Emco Beauty. Affordable, luxe for less, and cruelty-free beauty with every product under $50. Amazing, right?
We don't have time for this.
We'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land where we make this podcast, the Garigal and the Gayamangal people. We pay our respects to all First Nation elders, past, present and emerging.
Snippity-doo-da, snippity-day. Now listen, my pants are open.
What's going on, babe?
I'm just checking in with HR, which is you and I.
If I'm comfortable
with
this.
Is it okay if I have my pants undone at work? Because frankly, these are great standing jeans. Mm-hmm. Love them standing up, and they're not sitting jeans.
You're giving me we just went out for pasta vibes.
Yeah, and we didn't. It's more like last day of my period and they're ribcage,
okay,
you know, jeans.
Yeah, high cut.
It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They need to be
retired. And never worn again in the pod studio, clearly.
Not a sitting pant.
Mm. But they look rad.
I feel like there's no power imbalance here. Are you cool with me unzipping at work?
I'm fine with it, guys. DL, so we didn't go and eat pasta. I wish we had spaghetti and spritz. No, we were on an excursion.
Oh, yeah, we went on a secret excursion.
For you, DLs.
Yeah, we were just checking something out.
Checking something out. Rhymes with perch, starts with M. Revs is like, stop giving shit away.
We've traded personalities.
We have.
You used to be the stop giving shit away person. Now I'm like, rein it in, chum sai. It's so funny. Someone in the Facebook group last week said, did anyone else hear the girls say in the Airbnb ad that they're
going on tour
this year? And everyone was like, oh my God, what? And we were like,
oh, worst kept secret ever.
Yeah, I didn't think about that, did we?
Did not think about that. Anyway,
well, we can't confirm or deny that there will be perch starting with M or a ooh starting with T. Just that we went out on an excursion.
Yeah.
To see some things.
We did. Should we get into the episode?
God, my little prick teasers.
We have 1,000 things to do, but we'd rather chat to you. With emails and meetings and husbands and kids, we don't have time for this. Just what you need. Two basic bitches with a podcast.
Hello and welcome to We Don't Have Time for This. I'm your host, Gemma Pranita, aka Gemma Peanut on the gram, along with my co-host,
Kate Reeves.
Happy Tuesday, friends.
Happy Tuesday.
Revsy, question for you about your man.
Americano.
Yeah, just trying to get a bit of a sense check. Because
okay.
Producer KD mentioned that her husband tells her that he thought about getting her a gift, but then didn't.
It was a good story. We had a good lull in the office.
So my husband doesn't do this.
Mm-hmm. Because you send him links.
I do.
He doesn't even have to think about getting you a gift.
You're like, I don't want him to think about it. Because if he thinks about it, he's going to get me the wrong thing. I'm okay with taking charge. But I want to know, does Americano do this? Because I feel like it's brownie point snatching.
He one time came over. Look, I need to set this up and be fair.
Okay.
Like, gotta be fair. He also has gifts as a love language. He's very good gifter. So props to him for that. And frankly, it's what I deserve at this stage of life. However, he did once come over and was like, I was gonna bring you flowers today, but, and then had this whole story. And I just stood there with my arms crossed and I was like, so are you expecting some kind of trophy for having a thought of thinking about bringing me flowers? Because that's not gonna happen.
Would you prefer to have not known? Like, were you disappointed? You're like, oh, I really could have done with some fresh peonies in the kitchen.
I didn't even think about it, to be honest. And I wouldn't have thought about it and it wouldn't have made any difference. But I was like, well, I'm not handing out verbal trophies for something you didn't do but thought about for a sec.
Well, producer Kate said that it was rage inducing.
Yeah.
Because she was like, well, now I feel like I'm missing out on something that could have been that never came to be.
Yeah, I get it.
Like, what I don't know, I don't know. And now I know I want the thing that you thought about getting me. And on the topic of the thinking about it, you know how on the potty we always say the thinking about it is always harder than the doing?
100%.
I hate to say this, but with the general population of men, and I am grossly generalizing here, not all men and all that.
Oh,
but
God, just say what you think.
But it seems to be that the thinking of it is easier
for the men's
than the doing of it.
Oh, yeah. It's like reversed. Yeah. Yes. Women, it's like the thinking.
Anxiety,
and then you do it and you're like, oh, that was easy.
Yeah.
Whereas the men, it's like, oh, thinking, easy.
Easy. crazy. Babe, I had this great idea of something we could do.
I was going to dinner, but then I didn't. I was going to book a babysitter and plan that weekend, but then I didn't.
Interesting.
Reverse, huh?
Yeah.
Food for thought.
Also, they've been, you know, so spoilt by their mums and us, you know, and the world they live in that they really think just having a nice thought of maybe doing something is like, wow, that makes you a great guy.
Yeah, brownie points.
Like the bar is so low.
No, you don't get props for thinking about doing something nice. You have to do the thing.
Mm. Please.
I do love that Americanos' love language is gift giving. Mm. That's cool.
It's very cool.
There's a thoughtful quality in that.
It's lovely. And we're very aligned. We're a good match in that way. And he buys his mum nice gifts. He really thinks about what to get his kids. Like, he's good.
Do you think it's a skill you can learn? Or is it a personality trait?
I think it starts as a personality trait. Because if you genuinely don't care for them yourself, of course you're not going to like imbue that importance onto other people.
Because I feel like gift giving between lovers is something that's reserved for the honeymoon period of a relationship and then it starts to slip away.
Oh, I hope to maintain it. You know I've had shade for gifts being my love language, but I really love giving gifts as well.
Yes.
And I can't see that running out. Like, it's a thing I like to do.
Lovely.
Yeah. My father.
Your father.
My dad and his wife, my stepmom, they are massive gifts as love language people to each other and to their kids, family, everybody. And it's lovely.
It's lovely. It's just like lovely. What's not to love?
It makes a generous household. Mm. When I think of their home, it's a generous place, you know? And it's not stuff. It's just like a generosity of spirit that also goes over into like having nice wine and giving nice presents. And they buy each other the nicest gifts. Sometimes I'm like, wow.
Like, what are we talking?
We're talking designer handbag.
Oh, look out.
Jewelry?
Damn.
Like nice jewelry.
What's the frequency?
Birthday, Christmas, anniversary.
They're pretty token. Like if then.
Sorry, what would you like? Like St. Patrick's Day?
Well, I don't know. I was imagining you were like, gifts is their love language. I thought it's something they just do from a place of romance. Like a birthday and Christmas. I'm like, well, yeah.
No, but there is a spectrum of, oh, it's their birthday tomorrow. Quick, get a voucher, get a card, run to DJs, whatever.
There's
versus, oh, it's their birthday in a few months. What am I going to do? And the thought and the planning. And then it's like this nice thing.
That's different.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my brother is the king of gift giving.
Very good gift giver.
He kills me. Yeah. He's so good at it.
Yeah. And you're a letdown.
Yeah. Well, I've just jumped on his train. When it's my mum's birthday, I'm like, hey, bro, are we getting mum? Should we go in together? And we often do. And it's great. But you know what he got his wife recently? It's so fucking cute. He got her a record, so they love listening to vinyl, of all of their special songs.
Oh, like a mixtape.
Yep. And he designed the album cover art.
Stop.
And the art on the vinyl.
Oh, yeah.
Can you
top
even?
Top tier love
can
language.
You, right?
Top tier gift.
So fucking thoughtful.
So thoughtful.
Yeah. And look, I'm going to shout out love to my brother because he's just recently become a dad. Very exciting. And so for his birthday, I got him a voucher for Stretch Lab.
Oh.
No, on his request.
Okay.
My brother is the hardest person to shop for. First of all, he's male.
Excuse of every person who can't give gifts ever. They're very hard to shop for.
Fuck off. He's a 40-year-old man. He's hard to shop for. And he has everything that he needs. And he is a very good gift giver. There is a lot of pressure buying gifts for you, Rebs.
I hear this. So I hear.
So much pressure.
My sister shits the bed every time.
Yeah, because you're so good at it. Then you're like, fuck, they're going to hate it. They're going to hate everything.
My sister straight up had an aneurysm on Christmas. And she gave me this. I told you this story.
Yeah, it's the best.
My sister gave me this gift. And she was, okay, cool. Got it. And she gave it to me and I opened it and like, we're very tight. It was so wrong that I couldn't even go, oh, I was like, huh? And she goes, oh shit, I fucked it, haven't I? And I was like, what? Like in what world? It was a Poppy Lissman bag. I love Poppy Lissman, but it was like this hectically Zoomer Y2K throwback bleached denim little handbag with silver studs.
Nah.
I'm like, first of all, you know I'm a gold girl.
Yeah.
Why are you getting silver hardware? And then what's with this bleached denim? White? And what about my outfits ever have told you I'm into the Y2K?
I'm sorry.
She's like, but you love Poppy Lissman.
Revs, get fucked. In Lou's defense.
You are giving off hardcore Y2K vibes today. With this fit you are wearing right now, DLs, she is wearing wide-legged cargo jeans and a white tee. Very 90s. She's even got her hair in a very TLC vibe style. Thinking chilly with a slick back ponytail with a plait. I could see you rocking a bleached wash denim bag with silver hardware. I can. I'm sorry. Well, I'm defending
you. You don't get it.
And you know what? If you thought it was cool, you would make it cool.
Yeah, no, I know. But it's not cool. It's not my style.
No, I'm upset for Luke. Anyway, going back to my brother.
Sorry, hijacked his story.
It's fine. So he wanted sessions for Stretch Lab. I asked him, what do you want? And he said, I could really do some stretch sessions. He had an Achilles accident. And I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. He had an accident with his Achilles. He probably needs to strengthen that. Anyway, I said to him, why do you want Stretch Lab sessions, bro? Is it because of your Achilles? And he said, no, because I'm going to become a dad in my 40s and I want to be able to sit cross-legged on the floor and play
with
my son. He's like, I need to be flexible and limber.
Oh my God.
So I can keep up. And I was like, you thought of that?
We don't talk a lot about Jem's brother, but he's just one of those qual humans.
He's a qual human.
We both won the sibling lottery pretty hard. Your brother at your wedding for me was best on ground. I had the best fucking night with him because we were, you know, at weddings, there's tiers of people. We were top tier. Maid of honor,
brother of the bride.
Okay. Top tier humans. Spent the week together in Koh Samui. We had so much fucking fun at your wedding. And then like 2 a.m. we were in the pool talking shit, just talking. And I remember looking at him going, Tim Chum, best on ground. Best on ground. Such a good human. Mm. But this is the thing about people who are good at gifts. Mm. I feel like this is getting an old song with me trying to justify gifts as a love language.
I appreciate your honesty.
Yeah.
I think lots of people have gifts as their love language, and I mean receive a love language, but don't want to admit to it because it feels gluttonous.
Yes. Well, now you've said it. So
I appreciate your honesty.
The thing about you saying, like, I asked him what he wanted, he's not going to go, do you know what I'd really like, Jem? For you to really think about all the songs we've ever loved together and to design a special vinyl and the artwork and have it made and sent in time for my birthday and give it to me then because I'll feel really known and seen and touched. That's not it.
I get it. You're justifying it. We know. It's the thought.
Yeah. So just going like, what do you want? That's not participating in his love language.
I don't have time to like get crafty and clever on my brother's birthday present.
Cool.
I just don't.
Right.
And he's cool with it. And you know what?
I know we're all used to being let down by you shit gifters.
Oh, I know I've let you down. That I've got trauma from it.
What do you mean? I can't even recall this.
I align with Lou. I bought you a dress once.
Did you?
Yes. And I forked out. I was living in Perth. I was a uni student. I had no money. Oh, and there was this boutique. You will never remember this.
I don't remember any. This is not ringing any bells.
I know. It's okay.
Got trauma, guys.
It's okay. I remember it vividly. I saw this dress and I was like, I've nailed it.
Describe it.
Okay, well, you have to cast your mind back to 2005. Okay? It was not a great time in fashion. Mm. Okay, it was an electric blue dress.
Yep.
It had a V-neck.
Because I wore so many of those.
I thought it catered to like big busted women. Okay. I was trying to have your back.
I thought it would drape well on your Viking bosom.
And then it had like nude. So it was nice. It was like a crunchy, crinkly fabric. It was cool. I'm not selling it.
I don't remember this dress. I obviously tossed it instantly. How did you know you didn't nail it?
Because you never fucking wore it.
Did I give a good performance in the moment?
Yes.
Good. Okay, that's all that matters.
Fuck you. She gave such a performance that I was like, finally, I've nailed a gift for Revs. Next minute, every time we saw each other or you posted photos to Facebook, because that was the era of albums on Facebook, and I was like, any minute now.
Any minute now, she's going to wear the dress. Any minute. in this album she's uploading of 85 photos from one party, I'm going to see the dress. Nope.
I'm crying. Oh,
honey. Well, the reverse happens with you. When I do nail it, you get so awkward because you're like, and then I can see the machinations in your brain. I see the cogs going where you're like, oh my God, I love this. This is great. Oh my God, yes. This, yeah. Fuck.
Every time.
I'm never going to be able to return this.
Damn it. I will say, I think I nailed your present last year.
Yeah.
What was it,
Rose? I can't remember.
What was it?
You know what? I'm not getting you gifts. You can't remember what I got you last year.
No, just help me.
Nope. I'm going to leave you out to dry.
What did I do? I was in Tasmania for my birthday last year.
Here's a clue.
Yeah.
It was an experience.
Oh, that was awesome.
Thank you.
She took me to the spa. I had a spa day and lunch with our other bestie, Liv.
Yes.
That was amazing. Sorry, I was just
so
thinking.
So amazing.
No, because I have like weird feelings about the birthday before when I was in a very bad place. And I was thinking, was that last year? But it wasn't. I was in Tasmania. I had a lovely birthday. And you and Liv took me out the day. And it was very special. Mm. Yeah. That was great. Thanks, babe.
The year before, because you've forgotten what I got you the year before, for sure, was a pottery of the planet.
Oh, I loved that. I love that.
Yes. Coffee cup with the sun on it.
Yeah.
Because you were woo-woo. And I was like, is it a sun or a moon? You decide. You feel it out with the universe, babe, in your cup of coffee. And you loved it.
You nailed that. Great. Well, congrats. Well, anyway, while we're in this very serious mood, do you know what I don't have time for?
What don't you have time for, babe?
Not knowing at all how to start my Foot OnlyFans account.
Say what? All I heard was Foot and OnlyFans.
Okay, so
are we really opening this up for conversation?
We are, because here's the thing. All I see on Instagram, on social, TikTok, wherever I am hanging out, is no free foot pics. You know, people cover their feet and they're like, uh-uh, you're not getting my toes for nothing. And I'm like, yeah. I don't want to give my toes for nothing either, but where do I give them for dollars? Because everyone's talking about how there's all this marketplace for foot pics and fetishes and online and you can make money. And I'm ready. I'm ready to monetize my feet. I'll never put my face in it. I'm ready for this. How do you do it?
Let's now have a business strat sesh right now. I'm ready to workshop this.
I've Googled it.
Yep.
Everyone's like, well, foot pics can go anywhere from $5 to $20. And I was like, well, let's talk scale.
Okay. Okay. Can we first talk about the content?
Yep.
So you've opened your OnlyFans account.
Yep. First, I haven't. But yeah.
No, but workshop with me. Yep. What's it called? Like, what's your alias?
Yeah, I feel like it needs to be real, like, kinky. Mm-hmm. Or does it not? Is the whole thing that it's very...
like, toe girl 69. Toey girl.
69.
Oh, she's a toey girl 69.
Toey girl 69. Like, can't you call it like toe princess?
Sure. Toe queen.
Toe queen. Just sounds, it gives a totally different vibe to toe princess. Toe princess is like, oh no, don't look at my toes. Whereas toe queen's like, eat my toes.
And there would be a market for that.
Lick my souls. Soul. I feel like there's a good pun in soul. But are we talking, is the marketplace ready for foot puns?
I'm anti-soul pun. It's too woo-woo.
Okay.
Too wellness.
Yeah, it's got to be, just say what it is, Kate. Footpicks.com.
Would you progress to videos? Because I know that
there, I've got to use my skills.
There's a niche, right, where it's feet in different textures.
Oh, okay.
So it might be like feet crunching autumn leaves.
Oh, yeah, I could do that.
ASMR combining with feet foot
in
fetish.
Sand.
Hot.
Feet in running water.
Hot.
You hate feet. I love that you're trying.
I'm trying to be.
You're trying to be yes and.
I'm trying to be your ideal customer avatar.
Okay. So I assume he wants, does he want the foot from every angle? Are there like angles? Anyway, look, the creative part I'm not worried about, okay?
You'll have that covered for sure.
I'll come up with content ideas and all I need to do is a quick research on what other people in the foot space are doing.
I reckon painting toenails would be a turn on.
Yeah.
Like just slowly painting toes.
Yeah, that's nice. In a red.
Like making a bit like of a real mistake. Basic.
Having to get out the kit to clean it up. That does feel like a niche that is real. I think that's a thing. Pedicure's gone wrong.
I've zoomed out.
Jim, your mascara's everywhere.
I can't stop. Pedicure's gone wrong is probably on red tube at this point.
I have to.
Jeff's a mess.
Oh God, I'm a mess. So my question is, Rebsy, how do you find your audience?
That's it, right? Where because are they?
The reality is you don't really want to promote it on your personal socials, right? Like you're not going to be like, hey, guys.
But aren't there surreptitious? Hey, guys. So, you know, on Monday we do Dinnerly. On Tuesday we talk about MCO Beauty. And on Wednesday I promote my foot account.
Okay, so let's assume you're going to stay completely anonymous.
Yeah, but don't people do little surreptitious things on their Instagram? Like it used to be if you had an OnlyFans account, you just put an X at the end of your name and people are like, ah, they have an OnlyFans.
Oh.
So what if I just drop the little foot emoji after my name on Instagram?
Cute. Look, it would be faster for you to grow your audience if you promoted it through your personal Instagram.
I'm not going
to
do that.
I'm just saying. Okay,
I'm not
fine.
Do that.
Okay, and what do you charge? Like there's tiers.
Of course.
Of subscription, right? Yeah. That's what a lot of people do with OnlyFans. It's like if you pay $4.99 a month, you get X amount of, I was about to say dick pics, I mean foot pics.
Yep.
And then if you pay, I don't know, $15 a month, you get I open
manicures,
it.
Pedicures.
Manicures, pedicures.
If and you I'm, pay $20, you get mistakes.
Pedicure.
Done.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Do you know what would be very
premium?
Yes.
What?
You massaging someone's back with your feet.
Oh.
That's erotic.
Well, whose back am I going to use and do they need a cut?
I'll donate my back. They don't need to know if
Babe,
it's...
Babe, you would break out in hives having feet crawling up your back.
But this is how much I want to support your, my small business.
I'm just like, if it's so much, look, my point is, if it's so much a thing, why isn't everyone doing it? Because there's no shade. No one knows it's you. It's just feet. Or do you earn more if you're like identifying yourself? Like if you see the whole woman and then you get her feet, is that the turn on? I don't know.
I genuinely want to know if there's someone out
if
there
anyone's
just
got a hook
killing
up,
it.
Basically, if anyone's got a hookup,
yeah.
You know, or a story of their foot's empire.
I don't know if I've shared this before on the podcast or not, but when I worked on Neighbours, we used to get fan mail to the offices.
Yes.
I think I've shared the story about how one of the young stars on Neighbours got semen in a tied up condom, which is fucking disgusting.
And I don't know how that made it through the screening process.
I got a strong request for foot photos.
What, like regularly?
Mm. I reckon it was the same guy. I'm assuming it's a guy. It wigged me out.
Yeah, right.
And apparently my feet feature on a feet celebrity foot page.
No,
when
they
I was,
don't.
When I was on Neighbours.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
So here I am.
Yep.
Trying to break into the foot space. Yeah. And you're already in there.
I'm a resident expert. I'm here to help is all I'm saying.
You're a captain of industry.
Correct. And okay. I have
fucked up feet.
Thank you. I was going to say foot insecurities, but yeah, my feet are fucked up, okay? I did many years of ballet.
On point.
On point.
Yeah.
And my feet are fucked. They angle in towards a singular point.
You can see how that would be a big fetish for the wrong guy.
There's like bunion vibes.
No, it's giving like bound feet. It's giving control
geisha
and contour. I don't like this anymore.
Mm.
Can we take it all back?
Yeah, okay.
No, I just want to be like a free woman walking on the beach.
You, on the other hand,
got nice feet.
You could be a foot model. I'm not just saying this. You could be a professional foot model.
Jen, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Is I want to monetize the feet.
Why aren't we doing? Can I be your manager? Can I earn commission?
Oh my God, double act. Like,
no.
Fucked up foot, beautiful foot. And it's like,
we would cover two corners of the market share.
We'd cover the entire
we
market.
We would.
And they could fight.
Oh my God, can we?
And then they could make up.
Like interlock. Interlocking toes. If you're new here, surely your sweaty, fucked up feet
so sweaty.
Would be so successful. And for anyone who wasn't into that, here's me, Princess Padfoot.
Toe princess is just coming in with the lovely glamorous feet. It's a rags to riches Cinderella vibe. And you're the ugly sister or the Cinderella, depending on how
or
you look at
toad.
It.
Or the toad. You know?
All right. Well,
we could do a great transition video where we start with my feet.
Before?
Correct. You're the aftermath. Done.
Done.
Oh, well, guys, if the podcast starts to wind down, you know we've made it in the foot world.
Oh, dear. DLs, honestly, I mean it, though. If you're new here, this is a particularly loosey-goosey episode. It's mid-March.
Yeah.
Nearly the end of the first quarter of the year. We're starting to lose it
okay,
a little bit.
Can we rein it back in for a sec? Because can we talk about the weekend?
Yes.
DLs, we took some DLs to lunch mm-hmm. on the weekend.
It was the Golden Ticket Girls Lunch.
Yes, we've been calling them the Golden Girls. We have had a group chat going for a few weeks, which has been almost like the most fun part.
It has.
Was the group chat.
Everyone was talking about what outfits they want to wear to lunch. There was chat about jewelry.
Yep. And we had the most glorious long lunch with these beautiful women. Mm-hmm. I mean, every time we meet DLs, we always have the same experience. It's like, these are our people. Mm-hmm. You're so fucking smart. You're so funny. You're so dry. You're so fucking tired. You're over it. You're like articulate and you.
It's that solidarity, sister.
You just
That's
get
what the
it.
Whole lunch felt like.
Yeah.
And it's really cool for us to spend time with a cool crew of DLs intimately.
Yeah. It was really special.
Nine of us at lunch and it was fun.
It was so much fun.
So DLs, do I plug? Is this the time to plug? I'm going to plug. If you want to see,
see some feet.
If you subscribe to More Time for This, where you get more of us in your ears, you're automatically in the draw to win prizes every month.
Yes. To celebrate the launch of this, we thought, let's start with a really big giveaway. And that's why we did the golden tickets and we took 60 hours to lunch. That was lovely. But we are going to be doing a giveaway every single month. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to even do anything. You just are a subscriber. You're in the running to win it. So yeah, definitely do that because we have a lot in store for you this year and a lot of very fun presents. Is this a good time to talk about the next one?
Oh, why not?
The next one I'm pumped for because Hey Zomi have given us a full Hey Zomi pack to give away.
It's my favorite thing to talk about.
The period disc.
You know when you can't help but recommend something because you know you've nailed it? I went through a season where I got a bit scared to recommend stuff.
Okay.
I know we have a whole dedicated section of the podcast called hashtag not spawn.
Yeah.
But I'm talking IRL.
Yeah.
The reason why I became hesitant is because I recommended like a holiday location for a friend and they didn't have
a good time.
Well, they didn't have the best experience because it had changed after a year and it was more tired. And I was like, oh, that's a real shame. I really like encouraged them to do that. So anyway, bit burnt by that experience. Sure. It's not my friend's fault. It's not really my fault, but it made me nervous to recommend because then I thought, well, it better be fucking good.
Yeah.
Anyway, Hey Zomi, you can't shut me up about
it. It's fucking life changing.
And I'm getting feedback.
Yes.
Because
we've got the good mum on it.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And other friends too who have taken the leap.
Yeah.
And the feedback is like, I'm obsessed.
Yeah.
There's no going back. And I'm like, yes, I'm nailing it.
It is life changing. And we thought the period cup was life changing.
Yeah.
A period disc is next level easy.
Yeah.
Even less admin. Just oh my God, you can just live your damn life.
Yeah, it's the insertion and the extraction.
And I know you're not about this, but you can have sex on your period.
Don't promote that to your partner.
I promote it because you actually forget you're on your period and there's nothing in the way. So you can have fun while you're on your period.
Revs, I never forget that I'm on my period.
Honey.
The bloat, the tender boobs.
I know, but for those of us who don't ever want to be on hormonal birth control, it's the safest, most freeing time to have sex.
Okay.
So, you know, if that's your jam, it's jam free.
Wow.
Anyway, point being, we're giving away a Hey Zomi pack, which has got both discs in the two different colors and their cleaning system because you used to have to boil it to sanitize it. They've got a whole system now that is just a little tablet that you drop in and it cleans it. They're giving away that for one of our subscribers. So, you know, obviously got to be in it to win it and all that stuff. But we were able to give all the Golden Girls a Hey Zomi as well. So I'm waiting to hear on their feedback because some of them were like, oh, I don't know. And some of them were like, yeah, cool. I wanted to try this. So it'd be good to see how that goes. This is how close we are now as friends. We're talking about everyone's menstrual situation.
We don't hang shallow. We go deep.
Hang shallow. Ad break.
Got to keep the lights on.
Hey, Jem, want to play a game?
Do I ever not want to play a game?
Okay, if you lost your makeup bag, what are the three MCO Beauty products you would immediately
repurchase?
Flawless Glow Luminous Skin Filter.
Okay, they didn't even hesitate.
Well, it's my first step. Primer, concealer in one.
And it creates that dewy finish that we love.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so number two would be the Super Glow Bronzing Drops.
Knew it, called it.
I mean, I love the sun-kissed bronze look, obviously, especially as we're going into the cooler months, Rebsy.
It's so hydrating.
Yep. And my last pick would be...
Extend Lash Mascara.
Ah, of course, my fave.
Well, it's everyone's favourite tubular mascara, actually.
So DLs, head into Chemist Warehouse, Woolworths, Big W, or jump online to mcobeauty.com to stock up on all of their cult faves.
And check out their new products today.
You know what I don't have time for?
What don't you have time for?
Birth shaming.
Oh, okay.
I know this is a bit of a rewind going back to birth, but I'm surrounded by birth lately.
Mm.
So my brother and sister-in-law had a baby. My girlfriend in Thailand, Ailey, shout out to Ailey. She recently had a baby. And I've got a couple of other friends as well, also having babies, all within like 2 weeks of each other. It's wild. So I'm hearing a lot of like, how was your birth? What are you planning? This is what I'm thinking. Now, weirdly, elective Caesars are quite common amongst this group. And this is coincidence. These are friends of mine from different countries in different cities.
Different seasons of life.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm very like chill about elective Caesars. I'm like, you do you.
Yeah.
You don't have to do what everyone else does. And interestingly, one person in my life is like, nah, I have no desire to experience labor pains or vaginal birth.
Yep.
None.
Great.
I'm risk averse. I want to do an elective Caesar. It's better for my mental health. Done. Then I've got another friend who has a mother-in-law who takes issue with intervention and is all about the natural birth, drug-free, blah, 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 and applying that kind of pressure, which is very intense.
Not cool. You have the baby then.
Yeah, exactly.
Not your body. You don't get a say.
You do not get a say. And, you know, it got me thinking about the term birth trauma because I think it's become I don't want to say overused term. It's definitely not an overused term. But it is a term that is
prevalent. We're getting more familiarity with it.
Yes, it's prevalent. And what I'm seeing is people trying to decide if other people's birth stories are worthy of the title birth trauma.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Not cool.
Yeah. Like people are feeling like, babe, that's not a birth trauma. You just had a birth that didn't go your way.
Ooh.
How do we feel about this?
I feel not okay about that. You don't get to tell someone what's trauma and what's not trauma. Like, I know it's a word that gets thrown around. There's a lot of words that are thrown around now in pop psychology, like gaslighting, like narcissist, like trauma, like triggered. You know, all these words are, on one hand, you could say they're thrown around a lot and they've lost their value and people are overusing them or whatever. On the other hand, you could say we're more educated and we understand them more and they're more relevant because we understand them. They come up more. Maybe it's somewhere in the middle. I don't know. But I don't think you can really tell anyone else what their experience was with anything.
Yeah.
This is so fascinating because I have a really good girlfriend who just had a baby and she confided in me that she's actually processing the birth a little more than she expected. It was her third child.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, actually, I think I shelved a lot of birth trauma from my previous births because I knew I wanted to have three kids. But she had an elective Caesar and she's like, you know, no one talks about it. It's fucking horrible.
Oh.
Well, this is her experience.
Yeah, okay.
And I know we have to absolutely make sure we're clear about that because birth is so fucking personal.
It is.
And what one person, I was going to say enjoys, but what one person wants for their birth is very different to someone else. We also have all of us a limited frame of reference. Unless you've had 11 children and one was induced and one was in spontaneous labor and one was a home birth and one was
a Caesar,
you don't have a frame of reference to really talk about anything other than what you went through.
I will admit, I find that curious that she has birth trauma from, was it an elective Caesar?
Three elective Caesars.
Okay. Like, and I'm not judging at all. I'm just curious because to her credit, with feeling very isolated in her own experience of having birth trauma during an elective Caesar, that is not talked about.
Yeah.
Like, I don't hear that often.
No, she said she's like, I feel like I can't even vocalize it because I think the chat amongst everyone I know is that, oh, it's really civilized. You know, you grab a coffee, you go in and then you have a baby and you pick their birthday and it's all very well. She's like, I found it really scary. She's like, the sharp turn from just living my life normally, no labor or anything, to then being in surgery, I found really hard.
It's quite jarring.
And then she found the actual process very difficult, particularly the physical side of it, the tugging.
The tugging. I know what she's talking about with the tugging. It makes you feel a bit nauseous and sick.
But she was just like a bit ashamed that she, not ashamed. I think that's probably a little bit heavy, but she was basically confiding in me quietly like, I actually feel like I need to do some processing on this, but I feel like there's not a lot. No one talks about the birth experience when it comes to elective C's, or almost like you haven't given birth. It's like you've outsourced it or something. Yeah. And that is absolutely not the case. And for her, she's like, I just kind of have to process it. And I was like, that is fascinating. I've never had a Caesar, but there's a hierarchy, right? And how we talk about these things. We think drug-free, natural birth.
No intervention.
No intervention.
You are the top-ranking superhuman mum.
You have one birth.
Yeah, you've won it.
Okay? You've done it. Like, you are the best. But then, you know, I'd put after that.
Vagina birth.
Vaginal birth.
With intervention.
With some sort of intervention. Then you're next. Then it comes things like forceps or
vacuum.
Then what? Then we'd say emergency Caesar comes above elective because you
didn't, tried.
You tried.
You tried to go into labor naturally.
Or before that would be breech baby or placenta previa where you have no choice.
Hey, Revs, there's even a tier with inductions versus hanging out till 42 weeks waiting to go into labor naturally versus those who got an induction at 40 weeks.
Or 37. Or, and there's even judgment between 37 weeks and 39 weeks. You know,
it's exhausting.
Outrageous. Yeah. Fuck off, everyone.
Stop comparing.
Stop. And stop policing and stop deciding that one thing's better or worse than the other. Just like we all have different periods. Mm. Like, think about all the women in your life, all the women that you know, and how different their experience of periods is.
Yeah.
Of course we're going to have different pregnancies.
100%.
And of course we're going to have different births, you know? Mm. Like, everyone's just got to do what's right for them and their baby with the advice of their physician, surely. But, I mean, we are further out of it.
We are.
We're like, so you're 5 years pretty much from birth now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I'm 7 years from birth. Yeah, like, it's been a while since we gave birth and since we were obsessed.
Yeah.
So I think it's easier to have that perspective of like, oh God, like I look at my son's class. I couldn't tell you who was breech, who was home birth, who was induced, who was bottle fed, who was breastfed. You wouldn't know. They're all just kids.
Yeah. Do you know what's interesting though is because birth is back in my orbit, social orbit, as I say. And you know how we talk about how you can't tell if a baby, exactly what you just said, is bottle fed, breastfed, baby led weaned, spoon fed, walked at 9 months old versus walked at 18 months old. Like, as someone who is, 5 years postpartum, I'm like, small rocks.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to care about that. But I hold a lot of space for people's births.
A lot. Well, the thing is, the children, you can't tell any difference.
Yeah.
But you line up a group of mothers and I would say you really almost can.
Absolutely.
Tell the difference with how they feel about that time in their lives.
It's visceral.
Based you can on their see experience.
It. Yeah. On their bodies when you talk about, you know, like for me personally, I have shelved Iggy's birth.
Yeah.
It's not something I really like to confront often at all. I don't spend a lot of time thinking about it. Like, could I sit here and say it was traumatic? Yes, I was absolutely terrified. But also, do you know what's interesting? And I really feel for your mate who's dealing with this quiet birth trauma with elective Caesar. The thing that people love to tell you when you've had a traumatic birth is, but you got a healthy baby.
Mm.
And they become really reductive of your experience because it's like two things can't be true.
Mm.
You're not allowed to have space for both. You should be grateful.
Yeah.
You have a healthy child. So who cares about your traumatic birth?
Mm.
But what people don't realize is trauma lives in our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And you can absolutely love this child. Thank the fucking universe that you have a healthy child. And that is a privilege. And real genuine luck. There are people out there who give birth to unhealthy babies and it is awful. And that in itself is another whole separate trauma.
Yeah.
But you are also allowed to reflect on your own birth and have feelings about it.
Yeah. As your bestie, I'm amazed you're bringing it up right now because this has felt like a very tender area for you since Iggy's birth.
Yeah.
It was a really big fucking deal.
It was, but I don't know what to do about it.
Sure.
I have this weird feeling where I'm like, that was shit, but I don't, like, what am I going to do? I actually gaslight myself and I go, but look at your thriving four-year-old, you know? But I'm okay with that. I don't feel like I need to revisit it, unpack it, understand it, yet. I might feel differently in 3 years' time.
Yeah.
Like your mate who's reflecting on three elective Caesars. Yeah. Like the fact that she's gone back and gone, you know what? They were all awful experiences. And I'm interested in that because I wonder with elective Caesars that doctors, and not all doctors and all that stuff, but if they get a bit like they don't explain things. I think some people need to be handheld through the process.
Even if it's quote unquote civilized.
Yeah, even if it's civilized, yeah. It's like you need someone to go, yeah. Hey, so we're going to do this to you. You're going to feel this way. Then we might cut you over. You know, I could foresee a situation where an obstetrician's like, yeah, you're having an elective Caesar. You're down for it. I don't need to tell you shit.
Yeah.
It's going to be really cruisy. And then it can be really confronting in the moment.
Because having a spinal tap when you're just awake and with it is a really full on thing.
Yes.
Like the whole process is actually still very, very full on. And you're having major surgery.
Major surgery.
And you're awake for it.
And the tugging. When you mentioned the tugging, I know exactly what she's talking about. It's fucked up. It's a fucked up feeling.
Really?
Yes.
And you didn't get any preparation for your Caesar.
Well, no. I mean, I had a code one emergency Caesar, less than 10 minutes to get Iggy out. I was in shock. I just remember going into physical shock. Yeah. I was shaking on the table uncontrollably, and that scared me because I didn't know what was happening with my body and I didn't know what was going on. Like not a whole lot was explained to me, or maybe it was.
Yeah.
And I don't remember.
Yeah.
Because I was out of my mind. I'd been in labor for hours and hours, and it was an induced labor. So, you know, induced labors are famously known for going from 0 to 200 in terms of intensity. So I'd been in that space for a while.
Mm.
But yeah.
And then they booted someone out to put you in the theater.
They did. There was a woman who was literally about to be cut open for her very calm elective Caesar. What I feel terrible for her about is they were like, sorry, out. And we got wheeled past each other.
Oh,
it was like
God.
She was out, I was in. I was obviously seen as a priority in that moment. And in I went. And I remember going, where's my husband? Where's my, like, my husband wasn't there. I was like, I don't know where my husband, like, he just disappeared.
One minute
he was next to me and then he wasn't. Then I was in this theater and it was bright lights and there were so many people. That was the other thing. So many people.
Because they would have had the crash cart.
Yeah,
and all that
descended
stuff.
Yep. Around me, all this fuss. And my husband was just getting put in scrubs, you know, like a little hat. What do you call it? Like a little, what is it? Shower
hairnet.
Cap?
Hairnet.
Hairnet. And his scrubs and he had to cover his
little
shoes.
Hat.
Little hat.
Oh, bonjour, husband. Welcome to the birth.
You know, and then he emerged. And I was like, oh, thank God you're here. Like, it was a blur. Thank God you're here. It's like a comedy show. Yeah, anyway, it's an interesting time.
I know what you mean. It's like, what do you do with it if you were to process it? But as you say, trauma lives in the body. It's interesting. Mm. Do you feel that?
Not consciously. Like, I'm not aware. I guess I'm only thinking about it right now because it's come up for me because there's so much birth happening.
Yeah. But, I mean, you were very, I'm done. No more pregnancies, no more births. I'm not doing that again. And there was no elasticity in that. That thought for like, yeah, but the pregnancy and birth's one thing. And then there's you were like, no, like,
no,
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 we are done here.
Nail in the coffin.
Done.
The thing with Raph, it was an awful pregnancy, but a textbook induction birth.
Mm-hmm.
Loved my birth with Raph.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. And with Iggy, it was like awful, awful pregnancy, worse than Raph's. Didn't think that was possible. I had pups rash. And then
antenatal depression.
Oh, yeah. Well, I had that both times.
Yep.
But I actually feel like I managed that better with Iggy than with Raph.
Because you were prepared.
I knew what it was. Was not prepared for the pups rash. But then the birth for Iggy was terrible. And I was like, yeah, I'm fucking done.
Mm.
And that's jarring to be forced into being completely done.
Yeah.
But I'm also okay with that.
Yeah.
I tell you what I'm dirty about is that I had a vaginal delivery and a Caesar.
You busted both of it.
I really can't let go of it.
You
I know
busted
some,
it all.
Some OGDLs who know the back catalogue will have heard me talk about this and they'll be like, get over it, Jen. But it's true. I'm dirty about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's not fair.
I've got this Caesar scar. It's mostly neat. Bits of it's keloided, whatever. The recovery was so slow. But then, you know, I also did a vaginal birth delivery where I had 10 stitches. Like, yeah, I'm annoyed.
Yeah.
I'm a bit like, damn it.
That's not how it's supposed to go.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be one or the other.
But yes, two healthy kids, not going to complain.
Okay. Yeah. But holding space.
Yeah.
You know? And it's a much less extreme version, but I even don't like when people say if they express gender preference, which you're allowed to have, it's just the truth. Some people have a preference.
Yes.
And the immediate response is as long as it's healthy. And I always wanted to say, oh no, I don't care about that. Just to be facetious.
It's a fucking gift. heaven.
Of course you would like a healthy baby. Of course you want everything to go well. Of course you want this baby to have a perfect life. Of course. That's just understood, isn't it? It is such a way of telling women to shut up.
Yeah.
It's like, but well, at least, you know, it's like no one can hold space for women's uncomfortable feelings. I really do feel we hold a lot more space for men's uncomfortable feelings and fragility. But if a woman has discomfort or something she needs to process or something that doesn't feel right or something living in her body, it's like she has to, before she even starts to unpack, just pave the ground with all this gratitude for what she's got first before she even gives herself permission to say, that was fucking hard.
100%.
And it's not all right.
No, it's not.
It's other people's discomfort because...
Oh, always, Rev.
You know? As long as the baby's healthy, it's like, okay, Sharon.
Yeah, if someone ever shares with you that they have a gender preference, the healthy baby part is a given.
It's a given.
It's a given. It doesn't need to be questioned. You don't need to remind them that they need to be grateful about that and how dare they have a gender preference. Yeah. Like, we've got to stop gaslighting ourselves and just be honest about how we feel.
Yeah.
You know, Revs, when our podcast first started 3 years ago, OGDL's minds were blown that you were so honest about your gender disappointment.
Yeah.
Because at that time, it wasn't really talked about that much. It was like a quiet closet shame.
Yeah. But it's just the truth.
But it's about being honest.
Yeah. I mean, and it's also true that some people genuinely don't have a preference. Like, it's not about, oh, everyone has a preference and I know it because I felt it. No, it's just that everyone is allowed to be whatever version they are about these things. And it's deeply human to either want to be what you came from because you know it and it's familiar and you want to repeat it, or want something completely different because you don't want to repeat your experience. All these things, these different colors of the same thing, are just honest.
Totally. We have a girlfriend in our inner circle of school friends who really wanted boys. She was so certain that she was a boy mom. She was really scared at the idea of raising girls.
Yeah.
Guess what she got served up? Two daughters. Yeah. She got two girls. And I was like, this is the greatest lesson for you.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to go on the most incredible journey and learn so much about yourself. And I think she didn't want girls because there were parts in her that she, I'm not going to say didn't like, or maybe hadn't confronted.
Sure.
And maybe she knew that having daughters would be like holding up a mirror to herself. And I've told her, I think this is the greatest thing to ever happen to her, because she was adamant she wanted boys.
I've got a girlfriend who always said, oh no, I don't want a girl, because she has a very fractured relationship with her mum. And I think that's the fear, right? Or you just reach for whatever you know and what your experience was, and whether that was positive or negative, and you kind of based off that. And she was like, oh no, I don't want girls. I don't want girls. But then got four boys. And actually, she really deeply did want a girl.
Oh, okay.
But again, two things can be true. You know, you can hold that deep longing and a cerebral philosophy that's like, no, actually, it's better this way. And all the feelings are real and there is space for them all.
Absolutely. I'm reminded once again that when you are listening to someone's experience or feelings, and it doesn't align with yours, and instantly you notice yourself
getting defensive,
wanting to reject their ideals,
feel angry,
or feel like you don't believe them, or that they're, you know, they're lying to themselves, just resist the urge.
Just pause.
Yeah. To make it about you.
Yep.
Check in with yourself. Why am I activated?
Yeah. What's this bringing up in me?
How can I deactivate myself?
Yeah.
And just hold space for this person and their feelings without judgment. Easier said than done.
Yes.
I will say, but it's a practice.
Yeah. And just know, if you're in the birth era of life, if you're surrounded by it, like a couple of years, 5-6 years down the track, it really will feel less intense, won't it?
Mm.
Well, I think we need to break that very heavy chat with a little bit of shit we can buy. Hit me with your not spun.
Well, I'm about to disappoint you, Revs, because mine is not something you can buy.
Oh.
It's an Instagram follow.
Great, love those.
Which is usually what you like to share as a not spun. So
true.
I feel like I'm riding your coattails a little bit today.
Hang on, baby. It's fine. Let's go for a ride.
I cannot recommend this Instagram page more. Just to have as part of your daily or weekly, however often you check in with your Instagram, your feed. It is pure creative joy.
Ooh.
And will make you smile.
Okay.
It's at All That Is She.
Okay.
And she's a stop motion artist.
Oh, cool.
Creative, director, whatever you want to call it.
Love it.
The brilliance.
Okay.
The effort.
Oh, wow. Well, stop motion is very effortful. For those who don't know, stop motion is like when you create motion, like moving picture out of stills.
Yeah.
So you, it's like a flip book, but in video. So you take hundreds of photos and you turn it into a video.
I mean, I've only shown you one.
Amazing.
But they just get more clever, more creative. Like I just, I'm in awe of her skill and talent. And I love
and patience and dedication.
Yes. Yeah. But I just love how niche it is.
Yeah, cool.
But also she's a mum and she shares a little bit of fashion content, nice. A bit of lifestyle content. Great. Like I'm really into her. I feel like she would be a positive energy to have in your feed.
Love it. I'm in. I'm following.
Revsy.
Hit me with your not spawn. Now, regular listeners will know I like a jaffle.
Oh, no shit.
If you're an international listener, that's a toasted sandwich, but it has edges sealed. It's a very Australian thing. It's called a jaffle. You can buy a jaffle maker at your Kmart, at your Target for about 40, 50 bucks, sometimes cheaper. And I love a jaffle. I like to know what you like in your jaffle. It's a real area of interest for me. Anyway,
tandoori chicken.
You like tandoori chicken.
Favorite jaffle.
Okay. Bolognese is mine. Or Hawaiian. You know, ham, cheese, pineapple. Mm. Okay. Anyway, we're not going to get into my favorite jaffles right now. I'm here to tell you DL's Kmart has brought out a mini jaffle maker.
Explain.
Now, why would you want that, Revs?
Yeah.
Because you can make jaffles, remember sealed edges?
Yeah.
Full of protein and all sorts of things. Cut them up, they fit in your kid's lunchbox.
But how small are we talking? Can you give us a size comparison?
Yeah, so it's like a sandwich,
yeah,
the size, but it gets cut into four.
Oh, do they not all do that? Pardon my jaffle ignorance.
How dare you? Jaffles are in half.
Like triangles?
Yeah, two triangles.
Oh, but this is quadrants.
This is quadrants. This is quartz.
Okay, it's quadrants.
Okay, it's quadrants.
Oh, and you
four little, it's like four little bebe sandwiches. You can put chicken in there. You could put bolognese. You could put tandoori chicken. You could put anything you want in there. I feel like you can just get so much more protein than the humble sandwich. And off it goes to school.
Brilliant. Do your kids right? love it?
Love it.
What are their top two mini jaffle
Well, they like a pizzery kind of thing. Yeah, so it's like a ham cheese,
so basic,
tomato paste. But I put capsicum. I put a little bit of mushroom. You
get
know,
a bit it's of like veggie in there.
Supreme pizza, but I it's like that. In the sandwich. Yes, it's not hot by the time they get to it. They don't give a shit.
It's, oh, it's fine.
Crunchy and delicious. Yeah. Anyway, also just like for at home on the weekends, it's a great snack because it's kid size, you know? I don't know why, but it's like when you put shit on a kebab stick. You put anything on a stick, kids will eat it. You put anything in little size and they're like, oh, delightful. I'll eat it.
Great.
Mini jaffle maker.
Do you have a price tag?
$15, Gemma.
$15. Kmart, we hate to love you and love to hate you. That is brilliant yeah. and effed up yeah. all at the same time.
Links in the show notes for all that stuff, guys. All right, it's time to get out of your ears. We've loved this. Wow, we went everywhere. We got real serious. We had too much laughter and
we reined it back in. DLs, we love you so much. Thank you, as always, for tuning in with us. We will be back in your ears bright and early on Friday with a bestie hotline.
Unless you're a subscriber, in which case we'll drop into your feed with more time for this on Thursday.
We love you.
Bye.